IVM.
Hello everybody, welcome to the 13th episode of the Sponge Podcast. I'm with Ambi Parmeshwaran. As always, we're going to be discussing the next chapter in his book, Sponge: Leadership Lessons I Learned from My Client. This is a particularly interesting chapter, I thought. We're going to be talking about India's first CEO-CM, which for most people who are 15 years old, they might not know, but we're talking about Chandrababu Naidu, generally. But, you know, before we get into that, I kind of want to ask, before your interaction with the CM of Andhra Pradesh at that time, what was your experience of working with the government before that?
Oh, well, you know, this, thanks, Amit. That was a good question because, you know, we all have our own biases about working with government agencies, working with the government, working with. So the experience, I should say, was not a very pleasant one because, you know, one is that normally government agencies and even some public sector undertakings, which we'll talk about later, have this whole business of every 2 years you need to call agencies for a pitch. Mm-hmm. And there is, you know, 40 agencies or 50 agencies are called. Sometimes I know of cases, each agency is given 2 minutes to present something.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yep.
That seems kind of...
Yeah. So I may be exaggerating a bit, but may not be 2 minutes, maybe 10 minutes.
But even 10 minutes seems kind of... So, again, you're talking about government work, so I'm guessing it's large quantum of work, right? It's going to be a lot of different ads and a lot of different stuff that's going on in that, right?
Yeah, so let's say this particular department wants you to create a campaign for water or something, right. And then they call 40 agencies. Agencies are asked to present for 10 minutes, something, and they go away, and then the decision process is very, very opaque. You don't know who's going to be selected, what's going to happen. So some reform happened in this 10-15 years ago, mm-hmm. when I think there was some directive that government said, look, you have to decide on some criteria for inviting agencies.
Right.
So they started asking for audited balance sheets. They started asking for ratings, mm-hmm. image ratings, which come in, you know, popular newspapers like Economic Times. Based on that, they say we'll call the top 10 or top 20 right. or top 30. But, you know, a lot of times agencies game this system.
Yeah, you know? I remember some stuff like this. But sorry, go ahead, please.
So, you know, so you suddenly discover that, you know, some unknown agency is in the shortlist because they managed to give a balance sheet showing a big amount of income. No one has gone and checked whether the income is from advertising.
Right.
Or is it from a fleet of cars they may have. You know, so they're selected and then finally, you know, it goes. So I've always been a little bit wary of standing in queue. Right. And presenting
is
for
it another issue that comes with doing this kind of government work. This is something that I've seen is where some of the companies who are working on some of these bids or these tenders, if you will, right, they help write the RFP in such a way that there are only like maybe two companies that can fulfill it.
No, though, see, I think there is a common maxim both in advertising as well as in IT services that if you are not in the game before the RFP is written, you're not going to get the business.
Ah, okay.
Right? So agencies get in and try and say that, look, you should have a cutoff of 100 crores as revenue. You should also mention that the agency should have won some awards or whatever. Right. So you plug in something which will be favorable to you. But often the guy on the other side will know that, look, it can't be too favorable to one agency.
Right.
So invariably, at least 5 to 10 get selected.
Right.
But the problem is not just the 10 agencies, but then the selection then becomes very opaque. So you put in a lot of effort, hoping that it'll be a pure meritocracy, and then you go through the trouble, and then lo and behold, someone unknown gets selected.
Right.
Or another usual game is that one well-known agency is selected, but two agencies which you never heard of are also selected.
Right.
Then you know where the business is going to go, you know. So which is why I was always a little uncomfortable standing in queue, presenting for government government accounts, both state government, central government. You know, there was always, I had my doubts, you know, whether we as an agency are capable of even winning those piece of business.
Right.
So this, again, this was a different case, which I'll talk about later. Yeah.
So I guess that is the question, right? The next question. How was working with Andhra Pradesh at that point in time different than what you had experienced previously?
So this was, you know, this was when the early phase, right? When Chandrababu Naidu was the chief minister of the then erstwhile Andhra Pradesh,
right,
which is today Andhra Pradesh and Telangana.
Right.
Right. And he was seen as a very dynamic chief minister. And we had an office in Hyderabad. As you know, in Hyderabad, there are not too many accounts to go around. There was probably a couple of them. We got news, our people in Hyderabad had been following up with various departments in the government, and they realized that Mr. Naidu was planning to make a big thrust in IT space because he felt that if Bangalore can have its day under the sun, why not Hyderabad? Because a lot of Hyderabad, Andhra had a lot of engineering colleges, and he was wooing the IT companies to come and set up delivery centers out of Hyderabad. So I got a call and I was told, look, Mr. Naidu is going to do something big. They're going to launch a big initiative and they're going to create this entire corridor, IT corridor in Hyderabad. And starting point would be what they call the high-tech city.
Okay.
And he was looking for an agency to handle the launch of this high-tech city. My bias was, look, you know, I was based in Bombay and we had a small office in Hyderabad. And I said, look, it's not worth our effort, you know, because we don't know anyone in the Andhra government. We had no contacts among the IAS officers. We had no contacts among the other staff. All that we knew was we were seen as a good agency in that city. There were not too many big agencies in that city. And we got invited, right? So I said, look, our chance is very low. So I told my guys, look, you do something locally, you know, don't, let's not waste, you know, pitching for business, whether it is, you know, it's advertising or IT or even consulting today, is very expensive. Yes. So you need to pick and choose the battles you're going to fight.
Right.
And we had at one point decided, look, we will not stand up and pitch at every opportunity.
Right.
We will pick the ones where we have a better chance of success and then really roll out the troops, you know, to make a good effort. So this one, I said, look, yeah, it's not worth the effort. You guys put up something locally and, you know, whether we get it, we don't get it, you know. You don't know, right? We're not very sure whether it'll work out. So we don't have any contacts, et cetera, et cetera. So I said, you guys handle it locally. But my local team, Dhruvja and Satyanarayana, they were hopeful that we had a good chance.
Right.
And they said, look, we want to rope in, we had a very bright creative director in our Bangalore office called Raj Alexander. I mean, he understood internet, you know, so I remember him showing us, you know, how to surf, how to do stuff like that on the internet. So they said, look, you know, we want to rope him in to do this. And this is early days of the internet. So I said, look, okay, rope him in. So they called him to Hyderabad for a 4-day session to mount a pitch. And then they called me saying, look, you better come. Hmm. So I said, look, don't waste my time.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've got too many things to do. This will take away a day. You know, I had to come in the morning, etc., etc. They said, no. They kept calling me 2-3 times. And I don't know what happened. I said, okay, I'll land up. So I landed up in the office. We reviewed all the work. And the team had a very interesting idea. So I said, okay, this sounds good. When is the presentation? I was told the presentation at 3 o'clock. We have to go to the secretariat at 2:30. And then we'll be seen at 3. So, you know, so I said, okay, let's see what happens.
Right.
And at about 2, we got a call saying, look, there is a delay. So I told my guys, look, guys, you know, shit, this is not going to happen, man. You know, we're going to be hanging around here for 2-3 hours, you know. We're going to waste of time, you know. Then they said, no, boss, it'll happen. Just wait. So, and of course, at 3 o'clock, we got a call saying, be here at 3:30 and your presentation is scheduled at 4.
Okay.
So I said, okay. I mean,
an hour is,
okay. That's okay. Yeah. And the fair thing is that they called and told, right?
Yeah, exactly. They didn't make you sit outside.
Yeah, they didn't make us sit outside or hang around, you know, under some tree in the secretary. So we landed up there at 3:30, 3:45. The other agency walked out and we were ushered in. And the chief minister already sitting in the room.
Yep.
Right? He was in the room with three of his senior, you know, cabinet level secretaries sitting with him. And I went and sat next to him and he asked me, sir, where are you from? I said, you know, I've come from Bombay. He said, oh, okay, your office is head office. I said, yeah, head office Bombay, global headquarters is. So he said, what are you? So I told him our global headquarters is in New York, but we have a very big office in Chicago.
Right.
And I wanted to plan something about Chicago because we had a nice film done by our Chicago office.
Okay.
On the Chicago city. It was based on the tourism of Chicago city.
Okay.
A fabulous ad, you know, which had a very nice lilting blues song, you know, using the name Chicago itself. Okay. You know, so you know, normally when you walk into a client's office those days, I'm talking about, 15, 20 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. So when you walk into an office, it normally takes about 10 minutes to figure out how the laptop will be connected to the multimeter.
It still does.
You won't believe it. I mean, I think Mr. Naidu had a great team. So within a minute, they had rigged up. And within a minute, the laptop was talking to the multimedia and the multimeter projector was on and we were ready.
That's impressive. We still have these conversations. Are we doing HDMI or are we doing VGA or what kind of cable are you sending me? Should we try USB?
Yes. So is it you know, VGA? Is it HDMI? Then, you know, is it an Apple? Is it Windows? You know, oh no, ours won't recognize the video play. The video won't play. The slides will get reformatted. The font will be different. It'll get cut on the left, cut on the right, cut on the... You know, so... But here, man, I mean, 5 minutes, everything was ready, up and about. So my Dhruv said, boss, we are ready. I said, okay, sir, we are ready. So he said, how long will you take? I said, we need about 45 minutes. Right. He said, look, can you make it 30?
Right.
I said, okay, we'll make it, we'll try and make it 30. And then the lights went dark and the presentation went on. And for 30 minutes, there was no phone call. There was no one coming into that room with a slip saying there is a call from Delhi or there is a call from whatever.
Right.
For half an hour, undivided attention. And at the end, we thanked, he thanked us for the good presentation. We thanked him. And then we left the room. Now, we had punted on something different. So we said, look, launch of a high-tech city. Yes, we can release an ad in the paper and put an ad in the TV. But we said, what if we live webcast the launch?
Oh, okay. When was this? What year was this?
This was, I think, when Mr. Atal Bihari Vajpayee was the Prime Minister of India. I think it was probably 1996.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. So, 23 years ago?
That's a while, yeah. Right?
So, you know, those days, internet connection in India was a little patchy.
I don't think, like, seriously existed.
We did. BSNL was the monopoly.
No, we had it, but I mean, like, it was very tough. Yeah.
BSNL was a monopoly. So, our guys had said, you know, we can do print ad, we can do TV ad, but what if we live webcast the whole thing? So I said, guys, you know, how are we going to do it? So they had done some homework. They had said, you know, we need to get a leased line from VSNL. And we had identified a company in Chandigarh who could do the webcast. So they will come to Hyderabad, set up the facilities, get a leased line from VSNL. Of course, since it's a government project, and Prime Minister was coming, VSNL would. So, interestingly, you know, it was a complex project, right? And we got the, you know, when we got back to the office, within 3 days, I think they said, yeah, we're going with you.
Okay.
And then we had, I think, 4 weeks to set up the whole thing. And interestingly, the Andhra Pradesh government machinery got into the act. VSNL got into the act. Our third party... website guy got into the act.
The person who was on
going to do the website and do the live webcast. It went, you know, I didn't go for the inauguration, but I was in Bombay and I watched the inauguration on my dial-up line. It was fine. I was told more than 25,000 people across the world, probably belonging to the Telugu diaspora, dialed in and watched the inauguration of the high-tech city.
That's impressive at the time.
It was very good, right? Yeah. I mean, we got paid. Again, a problem with the government is that you don't get paid on time. Yes. We got paid on time. And everything went happily. And the truth is that even a private, you know, we say that government is slow, government is not innovative, government takes its own time. In this case, government behaved better than probably any private sector undertaking.
Yeah.
You know, they gave us the freedom and they used their muscle to get VSNL to provide a leased line. The leased line did not drop. You know, so in a sense, it worked brilliantly well. And I think a lot of the credit would probably go to Mr. Chandrababu Naidu and his core team.
Right.
Which actually, you know, did this whole project.
So let's get to the title of the chapter, right? India's first CEOCM, right? I mean, like, you worked with the government over years, right? I mean, like, you spoke a little bit about some of the issues you had, some of the challenges you had working with them. What do you think is the difference between the CEOCM and just the CM that you kind of deal with on a normal basis?
Like, I, I think a CM is purely political. Mm-hmm. You know, CM is purely in the business of winning an election and getting into power. CEO CM, I think, looks at the larger picture.
Right.
Okay, you need to come into power and then you need to deliver on the economic parameters for the state. And CEO CM understands these. And of course, he has to be political. He should be able to get votes. Otherwise, he won't win. But he also believes like a CEO of a company, which means there is a P&L, there is a profit and loss account. Your goals have to create new jobs, new industry, create opportunities for people to set up companies, etc., etc. And
right.
I think, you know, India has had some interesting, you know, chief ministers, like Maharashtra has done a great job in the past. I think Tamil Nadu, when R. Venkatraman was the industry minister, he set up India's first industrial estates, where small-scale industries and medium-scale industries could be set up.
Right.
And I think Chandrababu Naidu saw the IT revolution right?
Right.
So he went and created this entire high-tech city. And today, if you go to that IT corridor in Hyderabad, you'll be amazed. Probably, you know, I was there a year ago to meet a client. And you drive down that road, you know, there is Microsoft, Oracle, Adobe, Amazon, Apple is setting up a huge center there. And of course, all the big boys in India, you know,
right.
TCS, Wipros, you know, Satyam, which is today, you know, Tech Mahindra,
right.
Cognizant, every technology company has a big delivery center along that road. And I was driving by and one building looked a little old and quaint.
Things age.
And I stopped and I said, shit, this is the high-tech city which we launched, you know, in 96 with big fanfare. And now it looks so small.
It looks dated.
It was probably 10-story high. And today all the other other buildings are all 20, 30 stories high. You know?
You wind up seeing that, right? I mean, like there's this Cyberopolis over here in Andheri, which came up around the same time, like late 90s, maybe mid-late 90s. And back then it was like I used to look at that building. I'm like, man, one day I'll have an office in that building. It looks so nice, so awesome. And today it's just like, eh, okay.
But you know what? I think somewhere between him and maybe Ramalinga Raju and several others, they saw that Andhra can tap into the IT,
right.
IT boom. It had the talent, it had the education, it had the people, and they created it. And hats off. I mean, they created a whole nothing. Andhra
right.
was nothing. It was really Tamil Nadu and Karnataka, which had the, in fact, Tamil Nadu had more IT. Pure IT processing power,
right?
Compared to, you know, any other state in India, but you know, Andhra, you know, really went ahead with this, and I think this was probably a tipping point. This entire creation of high-tech city.
You know, let's end on this part, right? You spoke briefly about this a little bit earlier, but I wanted to ask you that: how do you avoid the biases that come with work that you might have towards government, right? You know, you have certain biases towards certain types of clients, right? I mean, like, that may or may not be fair to consider them as types, right? But you do have certain biases. You're like, this client will be like this. This client will be like that. How do you avoid that in this kind of situation?
I think you, all of us have biases. And I think we have to be two things, really. One, you have to be aware of your bias.
Mm.
And I think you need to surround yourself with people who don't have the same bias as you.
Right.
And if I were to add a third clause, is that those people should be encouraged to ask you questions.
Mm.
So if you can get that, and then you become a balanced team, and you'll have people who will say, look, you know, let's give this a chance, and let's not stay biased about it.
Right.
And I thank God I had people like, you know, Dhruv and Satyanarayana, who put their foot down, saying, you have to come for this. And it worked okay, and it turned out to be a good story in the book as well.
Okay, that seems like a good place to end this episode.
Thank you.
We'll be back next week with Chapter 14, Reading Smoke Signals. Thanks, Ambi.
Thank you.